Jayaradhamadava Jaya Kunja Vihari Jayam Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivraj Kacharya Ashtottara Shatasya Srimad His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jayam Vishnupad Paramahansa Parivraja Kacharya Ashtottara Shatasya Srimad His Divine Grace Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Karantara Shriman Bhagavatam Ki Nitai Gaura Premanandi Oh Glories to the Assembled Devotees Oh Glories to the Assembled Devotees Oh Glories to the Assembled Devotees O glory to Shishi Guru and Shri Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Vridimur Shimam Bhagavatam Canto 9 Liberation Chapter 4 Ambarish Maharaj Offended by Durvasa Muni Text Number 68 Sadhavo Hridayam Mahyam Sadhunan hridayam tvaham Mat anyate na jananti Nahante bhyo manak api Sadhavo hridayam mahyam Sadhunan hridayam tvaham Mat anyate na janati Naham te bhyo manak api Sadhavo hridayam mahyam Sadhunam hridayam tvaham Mad anyate na jananti Naham te bhyo manak api Please chant Sadhavo hridayam mahyam Thank you. Sadava. The pure devotees, Hridayam, in the core of the heart, Mahyam, of me, Sadhunam, of the pure devotees also, Hridayam, in the core of the heart, to indeed, Aham, I am, Mat Anyat, anything else but me, Te, they, Na, not, Jananti, no, Na, not, Aham, I, Tebyaha, Damdem, Manak Api, even by a little fraction. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The pure devotee is always within the core of my heart. And I am always in the heart of the pure devotee. My devotees do not know anything else but me, and I do not know anyone else but them. Purport. Since Durvasa Muni wanted to chastise Maharaj Ambarish, it is to be understood that he wanted to give pain to the heart of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For the Lord says, Sadavo, Hridayam Mahyam, the pure devotee is always within the core of my heart. The Lord's feelings are like those of a father who feels pain when his child is in pain. Therefore, offenses at the lotus feet of the devotees are serious. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has very strongly recommended that one not commit any offense at the lotus feet of a devotee. Such offenses are compared to a mad elephant, because when a mad elephant enters a garden, it causes devastation. Therefore, one should be extremely careful not to commit offenses at the lotus feet of a pure devotee. Actually, Maharaj Ambarish was not at all at fault. Durvasa Muni unnecessarily wanted to chastise him on flimsy grounds. Maharaj Ambarish wanted to complete the Ekadasi Parana as part of devotional service to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore he drank a little water. But although Durvasa Muni was a great mystic Brahmana, he did not know what is what. That is the difference between a pure devotee and a so-called learned scholar of Vedic knowledge. The devotees, being always situated in the core of the Lord's heart, surely get all instructions directly from the Lord, as confirmed by the Lord Himself in Bhagavad Gita 10:11. Tesan evanukampartam aham agyanan yantamaha nasyami atma bhavashto jnana dipena bhashvata. Quote, out of compassion for them, I, dwelling in their hearts, destroy with the shining lamp of knowledge the darkness born of ignorance. End of quote. The devotee does not do anything not sanctioned by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As it is said, Vaishnavera Kriya Mudra Vigyeha Na Bujhaya. Even the most learned or experienced person cannot understand the movements of a Vaishnava, a pure devotee. No one, therefore, should criticize a pure Vaishnava. A Vaishnava knows his own business, whether he does it precisely right whatever he does is precisely right because he's always guided by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sadhabo hridayam mahyam sadhunan hridayam tvaham mat anyat te na jananti nahante bhyo manak api. The pure devotee is always within the core of my heart, and I am always in the heart of the pure devotees. My devotees do not know anything else but me, and I do not know anyone else but them. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jananjana Shlakaya Chakshur Ummilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Namo Om Vishvadaya Namo Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Saraswate Devi Gauravani Pracharini Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashatyade Satarine Vancha Kalpa Taruvyasha Kripa Sindhu Vyaiva Chapatitanam Pavanevi Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha. So this is one of the most famous and important verses of instruction in the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is, just to say that, is quite, you know, an statement. We've been hearing the preamble to this famous verse in which Krishna reveals this very confidential, he reveals his heart. When we think about that, that here is the Supreme Personality of Godhead who is beyond this material manifestation, who is the controller of everything, the source of everything, the all-powerful Personality of Godhead. That we, the tiny conditioned souls, basically have very little understanding of it. Such a great personality. Such remove in one sense from an immediate how would you say daily reality in one sense. I mean, we function on the rules and the laws that are that God has given us, that Krishna has given us, but we don't, as conditioned souls, we don't have much entrance to the intimate relationship with Him at this stage of our, you know, of our consciousness. And here is him revealing his heart, very intimately revealing his heart. I mentioned before that that's why he called, similarly in the Bhagavad Gita, he expresses to Arjuna that this revelation he calls the most, the Rajaguhyam, the most. The king of all secrets. So it's the most confidential knowledge. Prabhupada also qualifies that part of the Bhagavad Gita in which this verse appears, the chapter 9, as the most confidential knowledge. That's the title of the chapter, the most confidential knowledge. So the most confidential knowledge is that which have entrance, who give us entrance into Krishna's heart. So it's the key to enters into Krishna's heart, which is quite something. The fact is that Krishna makes it an open secret. Also is the king or is the greatest, is the most confidential knowledge. Something that are confidential are not the regular people who have interest too. So like the government has very confidential bodies of knowledge that they have, you know, a red seal to it that is called, what is the name that they say is only, is not available for everybody. They use a term, what, you remember? Classify, right? It's classify information, meaning that only certain type of people have access to it. And it's not open for the public. So similarly, there is this confidential, very classified information that you have to be very qualified to be able to enter into that space. So Krishna is telling us this space exists, and this space is only and exclusively for devotees. But what type of devotees? The devotees who, the term here is mat anyat te na jananti. This anyat is also a term that is used in the Bhagavad Gita, that ananya bhakti, or the type of bhakti that is single pointed, that is exclusive. Ananya means exclusive devotion. When this exclusive devotion is there, that the devotee doesn't know anything but Krishna, then that devotee enters into Krishna's heart. So the qualification to enter into Krishna's heart is that our heart is filled with Krishna. So we have to be, we have to sort of prepare or make our heart a suitable residence for Krishna. And that is a principle of the process of devotional service that is given to us by Lord Chaitanya. That is so much emphasis in the cleansing of the heart, because it is understood that in the heart, that's where the Lord resides, that's where you receive the heart. So the pastime of the cleansing of the Gundicha temple is in Lord Chaitanya's Lila, is the pastime that teaches the importance of making the place, making a suitable arrangement for the Lord to enter, you know, that chamber or that place of worship. So the cleansing of the Gundicha temple to receive Lord Jagannath is equal to the cleansing of the heart to receive Krishna. So we have to clean our heart. As long as our heart is contaminated and dirty and filled with unwanted things, then it's not a suitable place to actually invite the Lord. One can, it's common sense. Imagine, you know, to bring the deities into a filthy place that is contaminated with all kinds of filthy things. It's not appropriate. Or if you want to invite someone that you want to bring into, you know, to establish a close relationship, and you bring this person into a filthy place, so it's not appropriate. It's common sense. So the process of making the heart ready to receive Krishna, because when Krishna enters our heart, then we have access to we have entrance into Krishna's heart. So it's a simultaneous thing. This weekend, we had a gathering of devotees studying under the guidance of Urmila Mataji, you know, brilliant presentation on this very small but important book by Srila Raghunath Das Goswami that is called the Sri Manashiksha. And it's only 11 verses, but Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur tells us that this little book is very, very important because it gives us a padati. Padati means a path to follow, step by step path. So it's a step by step path that allows to go from the beginning of our Krishna consciousness all the way to receive the gift of Lord Chaitanya, which is entrance into the intimate pastimes of Shishi, Radha and Krishna. And this is what Lord Chaitanya is giving us. Namo Mahabhadanya Krishna Prema Pradayate. He is giving us entrance to receive Krishna Prema, which is the love or the prema, the loving service of Krishna in the mood of Vrindavan, in Vrindavan, which is the highest elevation that is there in the whole manifestation, spiritual manifestation. So it's a padati, step by step. And before being able to enter into that space of that intimate relationship with Shishi, Radha and Krishna, we have to make our heart ready for that. And that's, you know, the majority of the book is guiding us in that. And we go from very gross manifestations of unwanted things to a much more subtle and much more subtle. So the first thing that we address as we come to Krishna consciousness is the gross manifestations of pride, which Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that these gross manifestations of pride starts with illusion, maya. As you know, being conditioned and in the materialistic world, the conceptions that we have of life is based on an illusion. The illusion that I am this body and this world is meant for my enjoyment. It's a bodily conception of life, and it's a very extremely selfish approach. It's about me and my enjoyment. This is who I am, this body, and this is mine. So maya and avidya. Avidya means ignorance. Ignorance of your spiritual, actually absolutely no clue of your spiritual identity or your spiritual nature or what is right and what is wrong. No clue of religious principles. Ignorance means the Bhagavad Gita describes that people in ignorance, afflicted by ignorance, think of religion as irreligion and irreligion as religion. So they have the whole thing upside down. So maya and avidya. Then the cheating propensity, which means that I think the Sanskrit word is katapata, this cheating propensity that one tries to get things by hook or by crook. One is having this agenda that at the end really is about me. So I might say, you know, I love you, or I do this for you, and then, but at the end it's about me. So I do things, I try to arrange things, you know, to facilitate just my sense gratification and my sense of possessiveness and control. The next one, so we have three, the next one is asaralata, which means that no regard for simplicity. So the simplicity of life, of consciousness, of approach is very far from, is the contrary. Rather, is everything is so complicated and convoluted when you have so many things in a room, clutter like that, so much attachment for acquiring unnecessary things, that everything is so complicated and cluttered, rather than be simple, the simplicity. Simplicity, and the last one is I got a blank. Illusion, ignorance, cheating, simplicity, and deceit, or hypocrisy, or duplicity, being duplicities. So these are the things, or the characteristic of materialistic people. And they're based on pride. They're not, even when they're confronted with these things, they're confronted that, oh, we got you, you're cheating, you're lying. They, with a clean face, politicians are like that. You know, they get caught and they say, no, like, there's nothing wrong with what I'm doing. You find some loop in the laws, and then you say, yeah, you know, it's not wrong because I'm, you know, this is like that, and you know, I can cheat. I don't pay my taxes because of, you know, like this, or I don't do like. So they never wrong. They're always right, type of thing. So it's a position of pride. So in the beginning, Srila Raghunatha Das Goswami tells his mind, give up pride. Working consistently and with determination to give this position of pride. And then what you should do, you should actually become cultivate this, and he actually emphasizes so much, unprecedented attachment. And he doesn't say only unprecedented. Unprecedented means that it's just like, you know, it's so uncommon. It's not regular attachment. You know, we have attachments in the material world. I'm attached to my family or to whatever, you know, friends and things like that. But this is unprecedented attachment. That is, and then he says, unprecedented, and make it excessive, not just unprecedented, but just go over the board with it, of these five things, which is what Srila Rupa Goswami described as the activities, or the activities that are purifying for the heart, which is the holy name. Well, we start with Guru, Sri Guru. Srila Raghunatha Das Goswami said this, Sri Guru, you become unprecedentedly develop an unprecedented attachment and excessive towards your Guru Maharaj or those who are guiding you. Through Sri Vrindavan Dham, the holy Dham. And when we're talking about the holy Dham or Sri Vrindavan Dham, Sri Vrindavan specifically, Sri Vrindavan, means that whatever Shishi Radha and Krishna is present is Vrindavan Dham. So, are we sitting where now? We're sitting in Sri Vrindavan Dham. So, this unprecedented excessive attachment to Sri Vrindavan Dham, like the temple where Shishi Radha and Krishna reside, Shishi Kishore Kishori, is Vrindavan Krishna. And Shrimati Radharani, the queen, you know, Brajeshwari, the queen of Vrindavan. So, Sri Vrindavan Dham. The Vaishnava devotees of the Lord, and the holy name, the Srimad Bhagavatam, or the hearing, the glories and the pastimes of the Lord, and the process of worshipping or surrendering to the divine couple, Shishi Radha and Krishna, Shishi Kishore Kishori, deity worship. So these activities, these five, are the prime activities that purifies or cleanses our heart. Each one of them, very powerful to cleanse our heart. So, so giving up pride and endeavoring very sincerely to actually perform these activities with attachment, unprecedented attachment, and excessive too. There's no limit. We can go over the board about them. So is the first step, the first padati. You know, so that's what we come, the devotees, the majority of us, I mean all of us that comes to Krishna consciousness. We give up the position of the materialistic person, and we accept that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srila Prabhupada is Krishna's representative. So we come to that position. But we have to work very, very conscientiously and strongly to give up these things, to give up these manifestations of pride and to engage ourselves in these activities, full-hearted. And then the next padati is dealing with the false ego. Because even as we come as devotees, we still have a sense of identity. You know, I'm good. I'm a good devotee. I'm doing these things. I'm engaging in these activities daily. I live in a temple, you know, in Sri Vrindavan Dham. I'm engaged in the service of Shishi Kishore Kishori. And so I'm good. I'm doing something right. So I have a sense of dealing with identities. You know, or you know, okay, this is right and this is wrong. Being caught in this duality. So it's a higher level of consciousness, of approaching, you know, making much more deeper your consciousness. So the idea that I am, you know, I'm a good devotee, or I'm this, or I'm that, the whole thing of I am, we have to give up that. We have to give up the sense of, you know, I am religious because I follow all this, you know, I do the right things. So Srila Raghunath Das Goswami says that we give up this position of being dharmic or adharmic. I don't necessarily follow all the rules and regulations because, you know, I am dharmic. Or I don't commit any sinful acts because I'm not adharmic, like that. But rather, I give up the thing and just exclusively engage myself as the servant of Shishikishore Kishori. So the position that is being given here is what we understand from Krishna, when Krishna gave us in the Bhagavad Gita to come and give up all kinds of dharmas, of identities, and just accept exclusively the worship of Radha and Krishna. Single-pointed, the worship of Shishi Radha and Krishna, Shishi Kishore Kishori. So that brings some doubts, especially, you know, for the devotees who goes to the stage of Grihastha. How would you maintain yourself when you give up dharmic duties? How you maintain yourself? And, you know, the answer Krishna gives in the Bhagavad Gita, you don't worry, I will maintain you. I will protect you and maintain you. But also, is if I'm exclusively, because this is something that happens sometimes, if I'm exclusively worshipping Shishi Kishore Kishori, the call is for exclusive devotion to the divine couple, Shishi Radha and Krishna. What about Lord Chaitanya? How can I include the worship of Lord Chaitanya? If exclusively is Shishi Kishore Kishori, where is Lord Chaitanya fit? So Srila Raghunath Das Goswami says that one should meditate, Lord Chaitanya is the son of Nanda Maharaj. It's none different. Lord Chaitanya is Radha and Krishna combined. So there's no difference there. But also, then how about your Guru Maharaj? Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti described Vyavyasajatmika Buddhi, that single-pointed intelligence is directed at serving the instructions of the spiritual master. So how is this also fits into this picture of exclusive devotion to the divine couple? Is that Srila Raghunath Das Goswami say in this second padati that we have to see the spiritual master as the most dear friend of Krishna. There's a very, very, very close relationship. Therefore, in the Guru Ashtaka, we says that, you know, where Shaksha Daritvena Shamasa Shastra, that the spiritual master is very dear to Lord Krishna, very dear to Lord Krishna. Just like Krishna is telling Durvasa Muni, Lord Vishnu is telling Durvasa Muni, that Maharaj Ambarish is very dear, basically. He's in my heart. Then the third part that they have to do with that taking shelter of the service, the exclusive, this focus on the service of the divine couple, following the instructions of Srila Rupa and Sanatana and Srila Swarup Damodar Goswami. Swarup Damodar Goswami is described because Swarup Damodar Goswami was the guru or you know, Srila Raghunath Das Goswami was called by Lord Chaitanya as Swarup Raghunath, something like that. He was the Raghunath of Swarup, because he was under the care of Swarup Damodar Goswami. And Swarup Damodar Goswami was the one who instructed, gave these instructions to Srila Raghunath Das Goswami. So taking the shelter of these great, great acharyas, we following the instructions and taking shelter on their instructions, we worship the divine couple. Then the fourth padati have to do with the importance of the sound vibrations that we surround ourselves with. Now, we have attachment for these activities. The activities, you know, our relationship with our Guru Maharaj, we have attachments to the temple in which, you know, the Lord reside, and also the holy dham, you know, Sri Vrindavan dham. We have attachment to the devotees. We have attachment to the process of devotional service, of worshipping. We have attachment to the holy name, to chanting the holy name, and we have attachment to hear the pastimes of the Lord and the glorifications. We are taking with enthusiasm the worship of Shishi Radha and Krishna, and also Lord Chaitanya, and also we have the understanding, the proper understanding of the position of my Guru Maharaj as the intimate associate of Krishna. And I'm receiving and bestowing and following on. We are called by Prabhupada's grace, we are Rupanugas, which were followers of Srila Rupa Goswami, the teachings of Srila Rupa Goswami, Srila Sanatana Goswami. You know, Aditi worship is, you know, basically presented by Srila Sanatana Goswami. So, but we have to be very careful about the type of sound vibrations that we surrounded ourselves with, or that we expose ourselves with. And sometimes we take that for granted. And it is explained that the first major obstacle, you know, even after establishing yourself in that position, the obstacle of mundane sounds, being exposed to mundane sounds, and what it does to the heart. Because by working sincerely in these activities of devotional service that cleanses our heart starts to not only being cleansed, but actually they receive the jewels of Krishna devotional service. They're like jewels. It's wealth. The wealth of devotional service as we become, you know, as we do these activities. They're not pious activities. They're transcendental activities. It's a wealth that is there. And then Srila Raghunath Das Goswami compares the mundane talk, this prajalpa, as a prostitute. And the prostitute in general, basically, in the plea of giving you some sense gratification, then takes your money, and takes not only your money, but also your morality and your good qualities, everything. It's the payment that you have to give to a prostitute. So the prostitute of mundane talks and sounds takes from our heart the wealth of Krishna consciousness. steals it. And then also he says, we have to protect ourselves. Mind, please protect yourself of this prostitute, but also we have to be careful. If we don't have a problem for the prostitute, we may have a problem with, you know, sitting carelessly in a space that we can be eaten by this tigress. And it's the tigress of the talks of liberation. He compares that this impersonal liberation, or this focus on becoming free from material condition and the whole impersonal talk, is like a tigress that will eat you alive. So he says that the solution for that obstacle is to absorb oneself in the teachings of the scriptures, to hear, to absorb oneself in the hearing and chanting of the revealed scriptures, Srimad Bhagavatam, the Bhagavad Gita, to study very carefully these teachings, to surround ourselves with transcendental sound, basically, the hearing and chanting, and to avoid completely, just like Srila Rupa Goswami said, Prajalpa Nijamagraha, that we have to avoid this Prajalpa, this mundane talk. And then, so those are our words, those are the sounds, then our actions is the next padati that we have to also into a much more subtle. You know, first our words, the sounds that we have, now the actions that we do. And our actions have to match at words, you know, like sometimes we see that we have to walk the talk, right? Walk the talk. So our actions have to match the sounds that we surround with. And so we surround ourselves with this transcendental sound vibration. We avoid to have these mundane topics and talks. So we're situated in the shining path of devotional service. Srila Raghunath Das Goswami said that in this shining path of devotional service is not free from danger, but actually they are a gang of thieves that is hiding, waiting to attack any persons who take this path. And these are six, and they lead by this, the chief thief is called lust. So the six, lust, anger, greed, madness, envy, and the last one is madness, envy, anger. Hypocrisy. No, maybe can't remember. Anyway, they're the famous six, you know, enemies. So these people, these thieves, are armed with weapons and also robes, and the robes of, he says that the robes are the robes of misdeeds, and they tied the devotee who's walking in this beautiful shining path. They attack you and they tie you by the neck and force you with these robes of misdeeds to do something that you just don't want to do. They force you, they push you by the neck to do these things. They said, you know, we remember Arjuna asking Krishna, what is it that even to a man that of knowledge is forced to act in a sinful way, even without wanting it. And Krishna says, it is lust, Arjuna, the greatest enemy. So lust and the associate of lust, they do this. They attack you, or that they attack us, the devotees who are in this path. So Srila Raghunath Das Goswami explains, he says, what we should do. We should call, help, I've been killed. Scream, call for the devotees, for the great devotees, for those, the devotees of the killer of the Baka demon. So call for the devotees of Krishna. Call for the devotees, you know, those who are the guardians of the path of bhakti. And call for their protection. I've been killed. Pity serious, you know, call for them. And they will chase away, you know, all these enemies. So, the next padati have to do with the mind. Because now that we chase, you know, away all these gross enemies of lust, anger, greed, deceit, all the things. Now, we have to deal with a mind who I'm free from these things, so now, you know, I'm situated in a position that is static. You know, I'm free now, you know, I'm not afraid anymore, I'm not attacked anymore by thieves. I am protected by the guardians of the path of bhakti. And then now is the mind that is attached to being honored and the prestige of being, you know, a devotee who is strongly situated in the path of devotional service. With devotional service, with this, when you're in that position, then it comes the recognition of being a devotee, the prestige of being a devotee. So Srila Raghunath Das Goswami considers this situation to be like the urine of a big donkey. He says, like burns your mind, you know. In other words, when we become free from lust, anger, deceit, greed, all the things, we become peaceful. But even after overcoming that, if your mind is still burning, it's burning because it is creating something that it has to do with prestige. The verse says like this, "All ruffian mind, why do you burn yourself and me, the soul, by bathing in the trickling urine of the great donkey of full-blown hypocrisy and duplicity?" So, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that, you know, in the different levels of devotees, it can manifest this bathing in urine of a big, ugly donkey, manifest as, for example, you performing devotional service, but and you're situated in devotional, and you start to enjoy the benefits of devotional service. You start to take it as just for your enjoyment. You know, it's my enjoyment. It's concentrating on my enjoyment to sit down and sing, you know, and then being appreciated, or sit down and give a class and, you know, say, you know, it's about for my enjoyment, or taking prasadam, you know, or the accumulating wealth. People give donations or people give gifts and you start to accumulate like that. In other words, enjoying the benefit of devotional service for your sense gratification. The mind becomes attached to that deceitful position. And or in higher levels, you know, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that devotees who are prefer the association of mundane people than that of devotees, because, you know, they're more influential or things like that. Or they neglect devotees and then give such careful attention to rich people. You know, oops, the devotees, you know, who cares about the devotees? Remember sometimes, you know, we were living in the temple and there were discussion about some of the congregation members discussing, they're devotees, why do they need heat? You know, we don't need it, we can save money. I mean, they're supposed to be renunciants. So, you know, we save money by not paying so much, that don't put in the heat in the temple. That type of mentality. So you neglect the devotees. Another one in a higher level, so there's so many examples Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives. In a higher level, you know, the position of being a spiritual leader, you know, a sannyasi or a guru, and then you start to bank on the prestige of that, and then sometimes you may treat devotees badly, or simply we're doing this, we're performing devotional service to be recognized by others. That's all obstacles created by the mind that are compared to being taking a bath in donkey urine. And Srila Raghunath Das Goswami tells that rather, if we want to move or address that much more subtle anartha, we have to bathe in the ocean of love emanating from the lotus feet of Sri Sri Gandharvika Giridhari, thereby delighting yourself and me. So, in that position, we call for Krishna and we bathe, you know, in the relationship that we have with Shishikishore Kishori. We divert our attention to the loving relationship, the loving reciprocation, the ocean of love that emanates from the lotus feet. And then the one that makes the hearts ready finally is when we get to address the mind, the next thing that we address is the heart. So we have to address the heart. We have to make the heart a suitable place for the beautiful ladies of bhakti, is explained, the ladies of devotion, to reside. Because they will make the place suitable for Krishna worship, to Krishna to be worshipped. So basically your heart becomes like Vrindavan. And that's when Krishna is fully present. So Srila Raghunath Das Goswami says that the part that we have to address in our heart is the desire for prestige. It's the most subtle thing, this lava, puja, and pratishta. when we come to the positions of being, even our mind, you know, being absorbed in the service of Shri Radha and Krishna, when we even come into a very elevated position, then one have to deal with that position that is recognized by all, and the position of people worshiping you because of your elevation. So the prestige that being, you know, a strong elevated devotee of Krishna brings, so is compared. Raghunath Das Goswami compared this desire for prestige as a dog eating unchaste woman who's dancing in your heart, serving a dead dog as, you know, the main course of the feast. And and actingly in a very unchaste manner with his boyfriend who is deceived. So imagine the pure ladies or the pure the pure ladies of love, of prema, you know, if you suppose, imagine these pure ladies, they come and then they're going to enter the room, and when they see is this scene of an unchaste dancing woman with his boyfriend, you know, this deceived person serving a feast of a dead dog. So you think they would like to enter there? It's like, woof, you know, I'm out of here. So that's the condition of the heart that wants to be, imagine just the scene. And we're talking about, this is the padati that addresses the heart. So we have to kick that woman and clean the place, you know, of the stench of a dead dog. And then the way of doing that, Srila Raghunath Das Goswami say, therefore, O mind, you should always serve the incomparable, beloved devotee commander of Krishna's army, who will immediately throw out the unchaste woman and establish the pure lady of love in the heart. So that is Srila Prabhupada. So taking shelter of Prabhupada's, teachings, Prabhupada's directions, Prabhupada's devotees, Prabhupada's movement, then, you know, making that connection, then this desire for prestige, when it gets kicked out, then our heart becomes now the residence of the place of the pure ladies of love. And then Krishna can enter and be properly worshipped. So, just a bit of a summary, you know, from my, you know, level of understanding, what I took from this very, very nice weekend that we had here in this, you know, the glories of Srila Raghunath Das Goswami and his teachings, his meditation. It goes deeper too. The verses goes now in Srila Raghunath Das Goswami's description of how to receive one's identity, the Raganuga Bhakti par that these books establish, that actually Srila Prabhupada's movements, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta and Srila Prabhupada, is providing for us the full path of, you know, sadhana bhakti, which includes Vaidhi bhakti and Raganuga bhakti. So Raganuga bhakti is also within, you know, what we're learning from the teachings of our acharyas. Any comments or questions? I'll pass over my time a little bit, but
All right. Yes. We all right? Krishna Archana? You can give the microphone, Giridhari, before you go. Turn it on, make sure it's on too. There's a switch on the side of the... There's that. Just make sure it's on. That should be the way. There we go. Thanks.
In the breakdown of Srila Raghunath Das Goswami that you went through, the all the enemies on the road of bhakti you highlighted, and prior to beginning the breakdown of the various enemies on the road, mention was made of the necessity to give up pride.
Dimitri, in the mixer, chapter, the last fader all the way to the right, just bring that, the mixer, cloth, the last of the faders. What happened? Okay, bring it down, down. Now, the second one, bring it down too. Top.
Okay.
Hare Krishna. Okay.
So,
bring it up a little bit, the second one. Up, no, the second one, bring it up a little bit. Yeah.
So, the prior to the enumeration of those various enemies that one has to confront in the mind, you mentioned that there was the necessity to give up pride, and then working through the various enemies that one has to confront in the mind on the path of bhakti, you came to look at what you pointed out seemed to be the most insidious one, that even if one had actually got past the various other ones of the lust, the anger, the greed, the hypocrisy, waiting at the end of the road, or closer to the end of the road, was the one of looking for honor and prestige. And so the question is, if pride has been consistently worked on being given up in the confronting each of those enemies through calling on the devotee or practicing consistently the five a powerful means for confronting those enemies that you'd highlighted from Srila Raghunath Das Goswami's book, how is it that that appears to be like an extreme manifestation of pride, looking for honor and prestige, is waiting at the end of the road if throughout one is actually, because mention was made, giving up pride. So if that has been the consistent work to give up pride, why is it that the last one on the end of the road is one that seems to epitomize pride?
Yeah, I think it's more sottos and sottos and subtle layers of it, you know? So you go into much subtle layers. So ultimately, the disease that we have is that we, you know, this icha dvesha shamutena, that we come to the material world with hatred and desire, hatred of Krishna. So that's at the almost like at the most primeval, you know, level. So I think we go in different layers of dealing with all these things, pride. And then, you know, you take care of the most gross level, and then you come, that's what this padati I understood is. You go into more subtle space. So yes, the last one is the most subtle one. When you already defeated the most gross ones, then you go to the last one that basically can take you back to square number one, you know? So, yeah. Is that, yeah. Dimitri Prabhu?
I don't know how to start this question. It's a little bit complicated. So, it's just like... different people get information very differently, depends on their psychological state of mind. Like some people, like in Srimad Bhagavatam and all the Vedic information, it gives a lot of information like this is wrong. And everybody can find something wrong in themselves, like a lot. Some people get that easy, but some people get that guilty and feeling of shame. And I feel like these feelings like guilty and self-punishment can bring you to very wrong direction, you know, I'm like a dog. I'm like ugly donkey urine. So I don't know, is it a question or not, but where is this border between realizing that we came to this world on imperfect, and we all have some problems, and I deserve happiness and to love, and so where is this border between thinking that I'm guilty, I have to purify myself to make clean, to come closer to Krishna. Because my general point of view of Vedic scriptures is you totally don't know what you're talking about. You should listen only to Srimad Bhagavatam. It says everything there. When you say something, you have to be according to Srimad Bhagavatam, because your senses are impure, you are imperfect. You know, somebody can get it like pure knowledge, you know, and I have to listen to that, take to me and come closer to Krishna. But somebody can just be destroyed with this information because some people feeling really guilty themselves and really shame, and instead of becoming conscious, they becoming like just miserable, because they cannot think anymore, like to make some decisions, only following Srimad Bhagavatam. So, like, I don't know where is the, like, the point.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I get the question. One of the things that I sort of, from my limited realization, is our motivation. We have to have it, we have to have clear what our motivation is. If our motivation is to actually become a Krishna consciousness, to become realized of our eternal relationship with Krishna, then everything in the path to that has a purpose and is very positive. So, you know, I understand I'm in this point which I'm afflicted by all these different obstacles and things that I have to learn and overcome for getting to this point. So, you know, it's like, you know, I don't know if you have done, you know, some mountain trek. You know, if you want to get to the summit, you have to go to these different obstacles and thing and climb this and trek to this and pass this and like that. And then finally, you know, one comes to the summit, you know, and then you achieve. So similar, when the purpose is that, when the purpose is different, when the purpose of our doing our devotional service is for acquiring something that I think is good for me, or that, you know, it's about me. It's not necessarily about developing my relationship with Krishna, but it's about me being free of something that I think is not nice. Then we put ourselves in a situation that makes us vulnerable to happiness and distress or frustration and this type of thing, because it's depending on our own effort. It's depending in the result that we're looking. If my goal or my motivation is to be free from material misery, and that's what I'm doing, devotional service, or my motivation is to have whatever. I mean, there's the four motivations that people have when they come to Krishna consciousness: wealth, freedom from miseries or from difficulties, inquisitiveness, just, you know, want to know things, or liberation. Those are motivations that in the beginning cause us these difficulties. If our mind is not happy, if we feel some sort of negative emotion, dissatisfaction or guiltiness or shame, then it's because we're not fully connecting to our motivation is not perfectly connecting to you know, becoming closer to Krishna. I mean, in one sense, you know, if I made a mistake in my path and I commit an offense, or I fall down, you know, deviate from the path and do something that is not Krishna consciousness, then I may feel ashamed or may feel guilty, but it's a
that feeling leads me to actually have a stronger motivation for, if my goal is becoming Krishna consciousness, then it becomes, you know, like a very important lesson to actually do the right thing. So it's always have this positive result. But if the result is I'm becoming morose and I'm becoming unenthusiastic about, you know, developing this unprecedented excessive attachments, then it means that my motivation is not right. So so the part of making sure that we are actually doing what we do to become Krishna consciousness, not to overcome this or that. The overcoming of this or that is just by the way, as we start to tune in and become more focused and more settled in the activities of devotional service to Shishi Kishore Kishori. And that's what we, you know, pursue, and you know, everything has that purpose. Everything is connected to that. It's natural that we make mistakes in the beginning. That's natural. So mistakes are great, because when mistakes are made in the process of learning, they're very powerful lessons. So, but if the purpose is different, if the purpose is something else, then it becomes, you know, it becomes a very bewildering ordeal. Does that address your question?
Krishna.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Kanantarashiman Bhagavatam Ki Jai.